The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Although we're still pretty far from its actual use in this program, I want to remind you that the current topic is indexed indirect addressing. Indexed indirect is the mode where the operand is the address of a memory location, and the contents of the pair of sequential 8-bit memory locations make up another address, which is the eventual location of the data. For example, say register X points to memory location 3000, and say that memory location 3000 contains byte AB, and memory location 3001 contains byte 99. Now, say that finally, memory location AB99 contains byte FF. Load A accumulator 0 offset indexed indirect to X would result in A containing FF. You better look in the book to follow that one, but I've got some illustrations of the concept, and the program we're writing should help understand the usefulness of the technique. So, by this session, you should have prepared the setup information and the scratchpad memory clearing. Your setup should look something like mine. To disable interrupts, you would ORCC immediate 50, which sets bits 4 and 6 of the condition code register. To choose color set number 1, you need to set bit 3 of port address FF22. Furthermore, bits 4, 5, and 6 are the graphics mode selection bits, and bit 7 is the alphanumeric graphic selector. If you hadn't taken a look at these control bits, then now's the time. Turn to page 15 of your MC6883 data booklet, page 15 of the SAM data booklet. There are 16 different display modes presented on this page, all but one available in 2-color sets. That gives you 31 choices. This wide selection is available only in computers where the 6847 video display generator, that's the VDG here, and the 6883 SAM are used together. Both are smart circuits, and so they interact in complex and versatile ways. The mode I've selected for the game of life is Full Color Graphics 3. If you follow down on the chart, you'll see Full Graphics 3C and the required bit conditions. The detailed memory map shows these bits. I'll remind you that the MC6847 modes, the first 5 columns, are respectively bits 7, 6, 5, 4, and 3. So, to achieve mode G3C or CG3, depending on whose chart you're looking at, bit 7 must be high. Bit 6 is high, bits 5 and 4 are low, and bit 3 is up to you. Bit 3 is high for color set number 1. So the left 5 bits of the binary number created for port FF22 is 11001. The rightmost 3 digits are powered up to 111 on a 16K machine, so the complete binary number to select full color graphics mode 3, color set 1, is 11001111, or hex CF. The instructions are simplicity itself. Load A immediate with hex value CF and store A extended to port FF22, and that easily selects the proper modes. In the process, don't forget the SAM. It has to be properly programmed as well. According to the chart you've been looking at, mode G3C requires that SAM bits V2, V1, and V0, that's video bits 2, 1, and 0, be programmed to binary 100. Turn the page in the SAM data booklet and look at the map on page 17. Addresses FFC0 through FFC5 control the SAM modes. To set mode G3C, then, set bit V2 and clear bits V1 and V0. That means, and you have to remember the SAM's write-only register technique, that you must write to addresses FFC5, FFC2, and FFC0. So to create binary 100 in the SAM bits V2, V1, and V0, You store any value to port addresses FFC5, FFC2, and FFC0. And that looks like this. Store A extended FFC5, store A extended FFC2, and store A extended FFC0. The final setup information is to choose the display memory starting address, which I've selected to be found at 0000. The display offset information is provided by the SAM, as you know, so that setup information must be written to the SAM registers. That's done, again recalling one of the early lessons, by writing to addresses FFC6 through FFD2. To establish starting address 0000 means the 7 bits, the 7 binary values 0000000 must be put in the 7 SAM address offset positions. To place a 0 in the SAM, that is to clear a bit, you write to an even-numbered address. To place a 1 in the SAM, that's to set a bit, you write to an odd-numbered address. As you've seen, the display memory calls for binary 0000000, so that calls for writing to addresses FFC6, FFC8, FFCA, FFCC, FFCE, FFD0, and FFD2. The most straightforward way of doing this might be to store an accumulator at each location. Store A, extended FFC6, store A, extended FFC8, store A, extended FFCA, and so forth. But since all even addresses are being set, I've chosen a case-specific solution. Now, you'll be following me along in the book on all these examples. So you're on page 140 along with me here. Load the B register immediate with 7. That's the number of bits. Load the X register immediate with FFC6. That's the first of the port addresses. Then start a loop and label it video. Store A, indexed X auto increment twice. Store A, comma X plus plus. Decrement B, and then branch if not equal to video, which writes to every other even-numbered address for a total of 7. The B register does the counting, and the X register points to the first SAM video address. For contrast, have a look at the general-purpose example shown at the bottom of page 16 in the SAM data booklet that shows how to write any number to those video addresses. This completes the pre-program setup. Take a break now and review this process, especially if your solutions are substantially different from mine. Last time, I suggested you have a look at stack instructions and see how they might be used to fill memory. First, I've got a standard method of doing a memory fill from hex 1000 to 3FFF. Again, stay with me in the book here. Start by clearing the A accumulator. Clear A, that sets it to 0. Then point X to hex 1000. That's load X immediate 1000. Loop begins a loop to fill that memory. Store A, index to X, and auto increment X. Store A, comma X plus. That stores the 0. Then compare X with immediate 4000. And that says, are you finished? Have you filled up 1000 to 3FFF. And if not, branch not equal, back to loop. The main time-consuming part of this routine consists of the last 3 instructions, requiring respectively 6, 4, and 3 machine cycles to store A indexed, auto increment, compare immediate, and branch if not equal. The total of 13 cycles for these instructions is repeated 12,288 times. That's how many bytes we're filling. And that's a total of 159,744 cycles. Okay, at 894,886 clock cycles per second on the color computer, this operation takes a considerable 178 milliseconds. That's nearly one-fifth of a second. And for fast-action games, one-fifth of a second is a long time. Consider instead my solution, and you can follow along here in the book. We're going to set all the registers to 0, first of all. Clear A, clear B, and remember A and B make the D register, so transfer D to X and transfer D to Y. Then, Now here's the unique one. Load S, and S is your stack, immediate with 4000. It points S to the top of the area of memory you want to clear. Then here begins the loop. Push hardware stack A, B, X, Y. That pushes 6 bytes. Then compare the S register, the stack, with 1000 immediate to see if you're at the bottom of the memory area you want to clear. And then branch if plus, that is to say if the stack is greater than 1000, back to loop. So after clearing A, B, X, and Y to 0, the S stack is pointed to the top of the memory area to be cleared. Remember that the stack pushes down from the top. A, B, X, and Y are then pushed on the stack using one instruction. The stack is compared immediate with 1000, the bottom of the scratch pad memory area. And if the result is plus, if S is greater than or equal to 1000, the routine is repeated. The number of clock cycles required for push stack instruction is 5, plus one additional clock cycle for every byte you push on the stack. 6 bytes are pushed here, A, B, X, and Y. And that means that push stack A, B, X, Y takes a total of 11 cycles to complete. So the heart of this memory fill is 11, 5, and 3 cycles for push, compare, and branch plus, a total of 19. Okay, 19 cycles is longer than the 13 needed for the previous example I gave you. But remember that in this case, 6 bytes are pushed at one time, not 1 byte of memory filled. 6 bytes are pushed on the stack at once. So 12,288 bytes have to be filled, divided by 6 bytes, is 2,048. There are only 2,048 repetitions of this loop. So 2,048 times 19 cycles for the loop is 38,912 cycles. Again, at 894,886 clock cycles per second on the color computer, this instruction loop completes in only 43.5 milliseconds, and that's slightly less than 1/4 the time of the previous method, and it's just 1/20th of a second. So where you need to fill blocks of memory very quickly, the push stack method is ideal. Don't forget to save the stack pointer if you need to, and also to replace the stack pointer when you're done with it. In this program, I put the stack pointer at 0DBF when I'm finished with it. I load S immediate 0DBF. If you'd like to look at these examples, I think this is a good time to stop and do that. At this point, the Garden of Eden is populated. Video display is complete. Interrupts are disabled. Scratchpad memory is cleared. And the stack is in position. It's time to evaluate the Garden of Eden for the population of its neighborhoods. I'll summarize the Phil Hooper technique here. We're going to deal with Joe. If Joe lives in a house on this regular memory grid, then he's potentially got a neighbor to the northwest, to the north, and to the northeast. And he's potentially got a neighbor to the west and one to the east. And, of course, one to the southwest, to the south, and to the southeast. 8 neighbors in all. The screen grid in this graphics mode is 128 by 96, 128 houses across and 96 houses down. So if Joe lives in house number 3761, then he's got potential neighbors in houses 3761 minus 129, that's at the northwest, 3761 minus 128, that's to the north, 3761 minus 127, that's to the northeast. There's a house to the west at 3761 minus 1, and a house to the east at 3761 plus 1. And finally, there are houses to the southwest at 3761 plus 127, to the south at 3761 plus 128, and to the southeast at 3761 plus 129. In your workbook on page 142, I've got a picture of the neighborhood with Joe's house, number 3761, and all his neighbors, 3632 and 3633 and so forth. Let me convert those to hex. The screen is hex 80 by hex 60. Well, that's a little bit more even sounding, I think, than 128 by 96. So Joe's got neighbors at minus hex 81 minus hex 80 minus hex 7F. At minus 01 and plus 01, and at plus 7F, plus 80 and plus 81. If the Y-index register points to Joe, then the neighbor offsets would be minus 81 comma Y, minus 80 comma Y, minus 7F comma Y, minus 1 comma Y, 1 comma Y, 7F comma Y, 80 comma Y, and 81 comma Y. The process then is really a kind of inverse of this. If Joe has 8 potential neighbors, then Joe, think of it now, then Joe is the neighbor of those 8. So instead of going to every cell and evaluating all 8 neighbors, you can go to every cell and see if it's alive. That's the key. If it's alive, you increment the neighbor count. If not, you move along to the next cell. So instead of making 12,288 checks of 8 neighbors, you make 12,288 checks for a live cell. So only if a cell is live does the action become increment minus 81 comma Y, increment minus 80 comma Y, increment minus 7F comma Y, increment minus 1 comma Y, increment 1 comma Y, increment 7F comma Y, increment 80 comma Y, and increment 81 comma Y. This is the heart of the neighborhood scratchpad routine. Think back to the actual display screen. Only 3,072 bytes are used to display 12,288 cells. Somehow you've got to break these into quarter bytes very quickly and evaluate them. You might choose a mask and shift strategy where each pair of bits is shifted left, then masked and evaluated. You might choose a mask and compare strategy where 4 separate routines are used to evaluate the 4 separate quarter bytes. Both methods would work, but in addition to masking or shifting, each technique would require saving and restoring the original value, testing, and branching. The method I've selected takes advantage of the rotate instruction, which rotates the bits of a byte around in a circle through the carry flag. You can take a look at the MC6809E data booklet to see exactly how the ROL and ROR instructions work. The advantage here is that by carefully selecting how I represent live and dormant cells, I can rotate bits of the display byte through the carry flag and use the carry to branch to the proper routine. Rather than spend time explaining the concept, I'll take you right to the routine itself. Look in your book. As you examine the program excerpt, keep in mind that I've defined 00 as a dormant cell in the display byte, 01 as a newborn cell, and 11 as a mature cell, that is, a cell that's past the first generation. Now I'm going to look at the program listing on page 144. I start by pointing X to the display, load X immediate 0000, and pointing Y to the scratch pad, load Y immediate 1000. Now I begin a loop, which counts 4 quarter bytes. Load B immediate with 4. Then I take the A accumulator and load it with the first video display byte. So I load A, indexed to X, and auto-increment X. Now I'm going to need some carry flag information, so I've got to be real careful what I do with it. So the first thing I do here is to push on the stack CC, the condition code register. Now an inner loop begins, labeled quarter. I pull the condition code register from the stack. Now, although this may seem redundant, recall that this is the beginning of an inner loop, so that pull instruction is the first one in a loop. So pull those condition code registers out and rotate left accumulator and rotate left accumulator again. It means I've rotated the byte through the carry flag. I have new information in the carry flag. I then push CC, saving the flags, and branch on carry clear to my label next cue, and that gets me out of the routine. Let's continue with the routine for the moment. So I've got the flags off the stack, rotated twice, and pushed them back on the stack, and I now have a carry set if I'm going to continue here. If the carry's set, I've got a live cell, so I increment minus 81 comma Y, increment minus 80 comma Y, and so forth. All eight neighbor counts get incremented. And that brings me to the thing labeled next cue, which is where I would have gotten if the carry were clear. So if the carry's clear, there's no neighbor, so no neighbor count gets incremented. If the carry is set, the neighbor count gets incremented. At next cue, there's the instruction LEAY 1, Y, and that says load effective address Y with Y plus 1. So effectively, that's an increment of Y. We'll get back to LEAY later on. For the moment, that's an increment of Y. Moving to the next scratch pad position. Decrement B, remember that's a quarter byte count. And branch, if not equal, back to where we pull the condition codes off the stack and rotate left through the condition code, the carry flag. It's done four times altogether. Branch, not equal, back to quarter. Finally, when all four quarter bytes have been rotated through and all four cells have been checked in the video display mode and in the scratch pad, they pull the condition codes off the stack, compare X to see if it's 0C00, and that's the end of the display. If it's not at the end of the display, you go back and do the whole thing over again, four more quarter bytes, and you do four quarter bytes for 3072 times, and then the screen is completely done. So in summary, X and Y are pointed to display and scratchpad, respectively. The B accumulator serves as a quarter byte counter, and the A accumulator holds the byte from display to be evaluated. And the trick is to rotate A left twice through the carry flag. That leaves the rightmost bit of the display pair sitting in the carry flag and the leftmost bit of the pair sitting in bit 0 of the accumulator. If the carry is clear, the cell is either dormant, 00, or defined as illegal, 10, and we'll get to illegal in the next lesson. In either case, it is not considered a neighbor, so the routine moves down the label next cue. If the carry is set, then the cell is either a newborn, 01, or a mature cell, 11, and the eight neighborhood incrementing instructions are completed. The label next cue follows, and as I said, more about the instruction load effective address later. What you see increments Y by 1. The quarter byte counter is decremented. The rotate and branch routine is repeated until 4 quarter bytes have been done. The compare X 0C00 tests for the end of 3072 byte display area, and that's it. At the end of 3072 groups of 4 quarter byte tests, 12,288 bytes of scratchpad memory will be filled with neighborhood information. To understand this process more intimately, take some time to draw a small grid of display points excerpted from the screen, say 16 by 16, and draw a corresponding page of memory bytes, it would be 4 by 16, and a chart of scratchpad memory. Put some random cells in place on the display grid, then determine from them the display bytes. Finally, evaluate the results in scratchpad memory. In the next lesson, you'll do the actual neighborhood checking and updating. Review all of this. Please review it with your book in hand, follow through all the program listings, and examine the flowcharts presented in the illustrations. Till next time.